Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. We are going to focus on one of the parables that Jesus taught, Luke 13, 18 through 19. It is the parable of the mustard seed. So let us begin. The mustard seed, which is one of the smallest, turns into one of the greatest. And here is the verse. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man tossed into his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air came and nested in it." So let's think about this mustard seed. Okay, let's just take that in for a minute. It is so small. It is one of the tiniest seeds that you could ever imagine, for especially to grow into a tree. You could hold dozens of them in your hand and you would hardly even notice them. Yet this is what Jesus would say. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like these mustard seeds. It is small. It is not something that you would pay a lot of attention to, but it's going to grow into something great. So think about that. Something so small, so easy to overlook, can grow into something large enough for birds to come and perch in its branches. That's the beauty of this parable. You see, God so often begins His greatest works in these smallest, most unexpected ways. He doesn't always begin with the magnificent. It might just be a vision. It might just be that small, tiny voice. It might be something that happens that is just barely out of the ordinary. He might take someone who you would never expect that would ever in a million years grow something into this massive thing that reaches millions and millions of people. But here's the thing. So often, most of the stuff does start off small. And see, that's how God's kingdom works. And think about it. It just started with a guy that was telling people the Messiah is coming and telling people to repent. Started with John the Baptist, paving the way for Jesus. And then it was Jesus. And then it was him starting to gather disciples. And think about what it is now. A third of the planet claims Jesus as their Savior. A third of the planet worships in His name. It's amazing how this one guy, John the Baptist, paved the way for Jesus, the Messiah, and then this thing just grew to the level that it is the most common religion in the world. Christianity is the biggest religion in the world. and it has been for a very long time. And if we study over the centuries, you can see how large the church has been. And to think it started that small. Now, that's not to say the church has been perfect or every church movement has been the way God would want it. I'm not claiming that. But what I am claiming is this, is that the presence, the knowledge, and the understanding of Jesus and his name has outlasted everything else that you can imagine. Kingdoms, empires, people, technologies, everything. His name has outlasted that. And that is part of what Jesus is talking about in this parable. But he's also talking about that there are people who are going to have tiny beginnings that you hardly notice that are going to grow the kingdom of God in ways that you could never imagine. So let's think about this, this tiny beginning of the kingdom. And I just love it. Going to Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And so when we think about how this kingdom is, it's incredible. You know, we go back to John the Baptist, but we can even dial it back a little further, how Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, in poverty and obscurity. It wasn't like he was born wealthy. And think about the type of people he chose as his disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, and ordinary people as his disciples. On the day of Pentecost, the entire Christian movement was really only about 120 believers gathered in an upper room. It didn't look like much. And people still stumble over this. How can something so big come from something so small? But isn't that God's way? And isn't that how he works? You know, maybe we feel small. Maybe sometimes our faith feels weak or our ministry feels insignificant. But God delights to take these small things and make them great. Do not despise the day of small beginnings, it says in Zechariah 4:10. You know, think of a company like Apple Computers, founded in a garage, or how a tiny acorn that becomes a mighty oak. I mean, think about this ministry here. It just started with a vision. That's it. And didn't even really kick off for 12 more years. God loves starting big things in small ways. The hidden growth of the kingdom is, you know, it's that seeds don't sprout overnight. I want you to think about these seeds. You know, they spend time hidden beneath the soil. Think about this. You water them, you wait for a while, nothing. But something is happening underground. And see, Jesus explained it this in another parable. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Mark 4:27. The mustard seed works the same way, hidden, quiet, invisible, but life is stirring. See, think of this parallel. The kingdom of God often grows in ways we can't see. The Spirit changes our hearts slowly. The gospel spreads quietly. Lives are transformed one by one. And isn't that really discipleship? But eventually it starts multiplying. So don't be discouraged if you don't see immediate results. When you're praying, when you're witnessing, when you're serving, there may be things going on that you don't see. Think about this. Sometimes God works in ways that you don't see, and he's working around you to prepare things. Think of the bamboo. For years, nothing ever seems to happen. But once it breaks the surface, it can grow feet in a single day. The kingdom often works like that. It's slow, 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 and then boom, one day it just explodes and expands. You know, Jesus continues, when it has grown, it is larger than all the other plants and becomes a tree. And think about that. The mustard seed may start small. In the Middle East, it can grow 8 to 12 feet tall, towering over the garden, looking like a tree. Well, here's the reality. From 12 disciples to, as I've already stated, to millions and really over a billion believers across the world today, the kingdom has expanded far beyond what anyone could have ever imagined. Think about this. Within decades of the Pentecost, the gospel reached Rome. Today, of course, it's in some way, form, or fashion, it's in every nation. If you look at a world map, think about all the missionaries carrying the gospel across the continents. And this all began with a carpenter, a prophet, and a few fishermen. And think about how big this movement has become. The history of it is amazing. So never underestimate the gospel. Even in hostile places, the kingdom grows. Even in your own family or community, God's word can spread further than you can ever imagine. You know, think about a place of refuge for all. Jesus talked about the birds of the air coming and making nests in its branches, in the tree, in the mustard tree. Well, that's not just an agricultural detail. It's a picture of welcome and refuge. In the Old Testament, great trees often symbolize kingdoms that sheltered nations. You can see Daniel 4:12 and Ezekiel 17:23. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like that. The gospel isn't just one for people or just a people group. It's for all nations. It wasn't just for Jews. It wasn't just for Gentiles. It was for all. People from every tongue, tribe, and nation and background can find a home in Christ. I mean, don't you think the church should be that kind of a tree? A place where the broken, the weary, the outsider can find rest and belonging? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? I mean, think of a bird that finds safety in its branches of a strong tree during a storm. That's what Christ offers. A place of security when the world is shaking, when it's falling apart. We need that security, and that security comes through Jesus. Now think of the ongoing cycle of kingdom growth. And really, here's the final beauty of a mustard plant. It doesn't just grow once. It produces new seeds, which scatter and multiply. Isn't that discipleship? Again, as we already mentioned earlier, the kingdom grows through this multiplication process. See, Jesus sends us to make disciples, just as it says in the Great Commission. Each believer becomes both a branch of refuge and a sower of new seeds. So ask yourself this. Are you sowing into other people's life? Are you sowing seeds? Are you able to find shade and safety as well as give shade and safety to others? I mean, think about it. Are we doing that for the kingdom of God? Are we doing that for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we reaching out to others that don't belong to Christ, that have not received him? We shouldn't think of them as enemies. We should never think of them as people who can't receive Jesus. We should always think of them as people who are capable of receiving Jesus under the right circumstances. Are we praying for them? Are we reaching out? Are we serving? Are we trying to reach a fallen world for Christ? See, I think so often that we forget that Jesus did not come for the learned. He did not just come for people who already had these understandings of the kingdom, or at least some of them. He came to heal the sick. He came to be a doctor to those who had the chronic diseases, who had not only the illnesses, but had the impairments and had all the life's issues going on. He came for us. He came to help us understand what the kingdom of God was truly like, and that it was for everyone. Everybody has the opportunity to receive Jesus. He wants everybody in the kingdom. Unfortunately, some people will never turn to that. There's nothing we can do about that, but that doesn't mean we can't plant seeds, and we certainly cannot judge who that is and who that is not. For that is God's call. That is his decision. Right now, our world is in peril in many ways. We've seen in many ways the degradation of the church. We've seen political revolutions. We are now seeing a turning back to a certain degree through some political revolutions going on here in the United States. We have a country and a society that's deeply divided. And what my prayer is that we will stop being divided and that people will reach out even to somebody who disagrees with you, disagree with somebody who is not on the same political spectrum that you might be. Are we willing to reach out? Are we willing to hold our hand out and show them the love of Jesus and to show them the way Jesus is? Are we willing to do that? You know, we've seen a lot of stuff happen really over the last year, and especially in the last 3 or 4 months. We've seen a lot of things that have happened that have been not pretty. They've been pretty ugly, to be honest with you. But that does not mean that that has to be the way it is moving forward. You see, Jesus came to reach every person that would possibly want to receive him. He came to soften their hearts. He came to plant the seeds, to give them the opportunity to say yes to him, because he is the only way to God. And we need to represent that. That is our job. And part of the message of this parable is that right there. Are we planting seeds? Are we planting these mustard seeds? You know, we should never judge if somebody will receive Christ or not. We don't know that. We know there's a lot of situations, and I know it can seem scary to reach out to people in this way and to share your faith. But I challenge each and every one of you to do that. Here's an interesting question for you. Have you ever been discipled? I'm not talking about going to Bible studies and doing church Sunday classes, but I mean being truly discipled. See, what true discipleship will do is it will contain these four components. Now, it does not necessarily mean that it's layered in this exact way, but it'll have these four components in it. Real discipleship, as Jesus intended, and the way the gospel is designed, is that we'll have an element of embracing the truth of who we are, our sinfulness, and who Jesus is, the only way to God. It will also have in it a process of real repentance, cleansing your heart and turning away from sin. It'll also involve fixing your eyes on Christ and his will in your life. And then that will lead to you learning how to carry the message of the gospel, and discipling others. And it will also always include some kind of an element of accountability, where we're held accountable to walking with Christ and sharing our faith. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do what God has called us to do? Are we willing to be discipled? Are we willing to then go and make disciples of all nations? That is what we're called to do. That does not mean you may be called to some faraway country to go and be a missionary, but can't you be a missionary right there in your hometown, in your home area? I am right now challenging and calling every church right now to start establishing real discipleship programs, discipleship training. Your life groups are a way to do that and to really learn to do this. Now, I will tell you, we offer a 40-lesson series on to do just that. But I know there's other places out there that offer stuff too. But I will tell you, it is imperative that all of us do this and we open our hearts to the Lord to be discipled. He has called us all to be discipled and all to disciple. Think about this. Paul himself had to train before he started his ministries. We're talking about Paul here. We're talking about the greatest theologian, the greatest apologist, in many ways, the greatest apostle. And yet he had to train. He had to learn. He had to understand who Jesus was in his life and Jesus's calling on his life before he could go out and start doing it for others. And Paul would reach further than any of the other disciples. And that doesn't make them insignificant in any way, because those other disciples, they reached other people groups as well, even outside of Israel. And they were spreading the word of God in many ways. And remember, they had time with Jesus. They had had training. And then, of course, once they received the Holy Spirit, they were ready to begin. And they started ministering right away. You see, we're all called to this. The gospel message is that not only do we receive Christ, but we are discipled. And then we go out and we start making other disciples. That is the real gospel message. And that's the way Jesus designed it. That's the original model. And it's the one that still is it's still the one that the Holy Spirit wants to bless today. We're all called to this. This ministry that we have is designed for this. That is the calling that the Lord has put on my life. is to start reaching out across the aisles, the pews, all different places here in our culture, and to start bringing awareness that this needs to happen. And again, we have our own discipleship series that we can train you with. I am challenging all of you to really start to pray and really go before the Lord and ask Him to start shaping your heart to be discipled and then to go make disciples. You know, so often we're just pursuing our next meal. We're pursuing our comfort, our convenience. But this life is so short. It is. This life doesn't last real long. But yet it is the life that leads to the next life. And it is our job to not only receive Christ, but it is to share Him with a fallen world. So in conclusion, this parable of the mustard seed is simple but profound. The kingdom begins small and it grows quietly, but it expands powerfully. And it welcomes anyone who is willing to surrender to Christ. And it multiplies endlessly. And despite any small beginnings, we should never give up. We should always put our faith in Christ to know that things may be going on that we can't see behind the scenes. And also understand that God's kingdom is unstoppable. The enemy cannot stand against God. He cannot. Here's the thing. One day when I go and stand before God, I don't want to look around and realize there were people that I did not reach. There were people that I didn't at least try to plant seeds with. I always think it starts with praying for people around you, to pray that their hearts will be softened for the seeds of the gospel and His truth to stay, take, and grow deep roots in them. Be praying for the people around you and then asking God to grow you so He can use you in the ways that He wants to. Be ready to respond to the calling. Don't just depend on your pastors to be the ones that deliver the message of salvation. Help your pastors. Help them reach other people. I promise you, you start reaching people for Christ, they'll start coming to your church just because you're the one that led them. That's right. Think about it. You're discipling them. You've led them to Christ. You're discipling them. Where are they going to go to church? Of course, they're going to go with you where you've learned to do the same thing. So I just say this parable of the mustard seed, think of yourself as one little mustard seed that can grow into this amazing, not only a plant, but into a tree that can be a place of safe refuge for other Christians or for people who aren't Christians yet that could become Christians. And you can multiply yourself and those people can learn to do the same. I challenge you to do that today, to make that commitment before the Lord and ask Him just simply to use you and start praying for the people around you. We got to trust and understand that God's kingdom is unstoppable and it will provide that shelter for all, for who come to Him. So, you know, remember that every mighty tree began as a tiny seed. And every work of God, whether in history, in the church, or even in our own lives, begins the same way. Let me pray for you today. Let me just take a few moments to pray for you. Lord, thank You that You take the small, the hidden, and the weak, and grow them into something mighty. Help us to trust Your work in our lives. Sow the seeds of Your word faithfully, and be branches of refuge for those in need. We pray this in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now I will leave you as I always do. Now go forth in total surrender to the One who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. I just want to give our big shout out this week to all the fine people who listen to us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we just want to thank you for your support and all that you do for the Kingdom Crossroads community and for the God Center concept, as you guys have been faithful witnesses and listeners to this program. And we just pray that for your community, we pray over your community and pray that you will continue to not only listen, but to help us spread the word about this message. We thank you so much and have a blessed, blessed week as we pray over you and pray that your community will continue to be blessed and that God will use you to fulfill all his purposes. Thank you again to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.